Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Logan, welcome back, everybody. Got a note from her this morning. We're going to probably do a little FaceTime later on. She and husband Bo back down in Costa Rica and working on their gardens on their places down there. So look forward to talking to her later. Look forward to talking to you now. Just give me a call at 866-444-3478. Here we are at Christmas. I know people are busy and running around doing a lot of things, family, holiday stuff, Hanukkah stuff, all that. But delighted that you're taking time to be with us. If I can help you with anything at all, that's great. I hope you will consider holiday gifts, things from the garden centers, some landscaping type things, books that will help people go organic, all that kind of thing. We've got a new book, just one possibility. It's the new organic manual that we did with Mother Earth News. And it's very good. I think you'll enjoy it. You can find a connection to it on our website, dirtdoctor.com, or go to motherearthnews.com. It's the new organic manual. And we got a bunch of other books, too. And something, if you want to give them a really nice gift, would be the course, the Natural Organic Certification course. It's an online school that we've created, the Texas Organic Research Center, our 501c3, along with the Vitality Network, the video company, put it together. And it's doing very well. We're getting good reports back from everybody on it. I'm kind of surprised about that, that we haven't had anything but positive so far. And there's already things I want to improve on it and will improve on it. But it's pretty good. 15 chapters that you take a chapter at a time, pass the test at the end, move on, get a certificate at the end of the experience. You have to listen to me and look at me teach the course. And my photography gave me a good opportunity to use a lot of the photography that I've developed over the years in this course. And it was fun doing it. We had a good time. The pruning, just one quick thing before I go back to the phone and catch up here. And when you hear somebody hang up, it's 866-444-3478. The flush cutting of limbs, you know, I can't overemphasize how important that is. The only thing that's more important than not making flush cuts, I'd rather you leave too long a stub, by the way, than to cut flush, and that means you've cut into the trunk. The only thing that's worse than that for a tree is to have it buried, have it too deep in the ground, have mulch built up on the base of it, all of those things. We talk about it a lot here. The flares, no matter where you are in the country, Chicago, Maine, Oregon, Florida, or Arizona, or here in Dallas, the flare is part of the trunk or is transition between the trunk and the root zone, and it needs to be exposed to air. It's very important. Trees that are too deep in the ground are going to be in stress and have all kinds of other problems, from mistletoe to sapsucker damage to just dead tip growth and rot and this and that and the other thing, insect problems and all. The cure in most cases is to get that flare properly exposed, okay? And then codominant trunks, real quickly. When you have trunks that are both going straight up, kind of competing for the one, you know, the terminal growth, that usually creates a real tight V connection down at the bottom. The best thing to do to handle that is not to put a bolt through it or anything, but to cut one of them completely off. Change it to where there's one dominant terminal growth. A lot of times you'll be scared to do it because it'll look like you're taking off too much of the tree. Don't worry about that. It's more important to have that one dominant leader than codominant or tridominant leaders coming out with those real tight angles on almost all trees. And if you have any questions on that, we can talk about it more. Right now, we're going to talk to Joanne in Aubrey. Hello, Joanne.
Hi there. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Listen, I have a question. I have lots of leaves that I rake up.
Mm-hmm.
I've saved a bag, and I'm just curious if I can use those leaves as mulch in a fairly new bed that I have on the south side of my property.
Sure. Best thing to do is to grind them up first, and you can do that out in the turf. It's the best place to do it, and leave as much in the turf as you can, and then rake up the excess and throw that over in the beds as mulch.
Okay. Now, I add bagged mulch to my beds about twice a year. Do you recommend raking up everything as far as, you know, dead leaves or whatever that's in the beds before you add the new compost and the new mulch?
I do everything from the top, Joanne. It's just much more efficient and more cost-effective. If you're using an organic program, which I assume you are,
right,
the mulch that you have in the beds is breaking down fairly quickly. And if you just allow that to happen, you just add the new material, whether it's ground-up leaves or your new commercial mulch that you bought or whatever, you just add that to the top so that you continue to create and maintain that forest floor cross-section. When you rake it away, I've had the problem even in my own house. Sometimes guys that help me use their blowers too strong and blow stuff out down to bare soil and have to re-mulch. So it's best to leave it there and let the natural breakdown occur.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Appreciate,
have a great holiday.
Appreciate the call. You too. And happy Hanukkah and whatever else you might be celebrating out there as well. The other thing that you might want to look into with gifts for the holidays is at garden centers, get a basket and just fill it up with a bunch of cool stuff. Gloves, neat trowels, seed of especially unusual things. Little Garrett juice, a little this, a little that. Makes, you know, a nice present for people. Get them moving the direction that we'd like to have everybody moving. Here's Rosella in Delaware someplace. Hi, Rosella.
Hi. I have a new neighbor moved in the beginning of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked out my back window one day, and he had covered his entire backyard with something that looked like meringue off a pie or cotton balls that are very pale pink or light yellow tinge to them. Could you tell me what it is?
This is something that he applied, he put out?
Yeah. He had to have a truck to do it.
And it looked like meringue.
Yeah. Well, throw a bunch of cotton balls down and have them tinged with a little pink and yellow.
Well, Rosella, I'm drawing a complete blank. Do you have a way to take a picture of it and send us a picture?
No, I don't own a phone or a camera.
Okay. Well, I'll think about it, and maybe some listener, maybe I'm just...
I've only seen it one other place.
Okay. And it's loose. It's, it was put out, and it's just a loose material on the surface.
It just goes on top of the grass. Well, it's not really grass. You know what I'm talking about, but...
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Rosella. I'll do a quick look on the Internet and see if I can come up with something, but right now I'm drawing a blank.
So did I.
Okay. If I get something, keep listening. If I figure it out, if somebody calls me and reminds me, I'll throw it on the air, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Have a blessed Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to David in Richardson. Hey, David.
Yeah, is that a fig tree?
Is it a fig tree? What?
Yeah, your picture of the month? I mean the...
No, and it's already been identified. It's the Chinese varnish tree or Chinese parasol tree.
Okay.
Yeah. How are your moringa trees doing?
Well, I got seven of them. I got three that I covered completely up with leaves.
You left them in the ground outside?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that'll help me. And
I got one in a different spot where my banana tree used to grow. I think it's a warmer spot. I just covered half of it up.
Okay.
And I got me a fig, not a fig, but a avocado and a mango tree over by it.
You got all kinds of tropical things. Well,
yeah, I got a real experiment going here.
That's good. Well, keep taking pictures and keep me posted, and we'll...
And I got three on the porch that brought in, and I topped them, and they sent up a lot of growth on the side. So
okay. Have you used any of them yet?
I eat them all the time.
You just eat the foliage?
I just like a cow out there grazing.
All right. Well, I got to try it. How is the flavor? Is it pretty good?
It's not bad. It's
kind of like wheatgrass.
Never did wheatgrass. I don't know about that. Okay.
Well, David, keep us posted, okay? That's good stuff.
I will.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, this little moringa tree is something we're learning more and more about here in a hurry. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Garrett Juice Pro, and Sick Tree Treatment, can now help you with innovative products. If you're a grower, rancher, or landscape contractor, Maestro Grow can manufacture products specifically designed for your needs and property. For more information, call Chris, 214-436-3617, or go to maestro-grow.com. That's 214-436-3617. Remember to ask for Maestro Grow products.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com. Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Hey, Howard, back with you. And somebody called about Christmas trees, and I'm going to try to work that in if we get caught up with the callers here. A couple things I wanted to bring up anyway. I'm not sure what the specific question was, but we'll see if we can come up with some information there for everybody. Mary in Arlington next up. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Howard. Hey, this is great crispy pecan weather, isn't it?
Oh, I bet it is the best in the year. I haven't made any lately. I'm glad you brought it up.
That's the good thing about the cold. Listen, I wanted to tell you about the apple cider vinegar, but also I wanted to ask you about when is the right time to trim back my Indian hawthorn?
Never. Indian hawthorn, it's tough to trim. I tell you, Mary, probably the best time is right after it flowers.
Okay.
So you don't mess up the blooms for the next year. But you know that the foliage is all right out at the tips
exactly.
of the branches. And so when you prune, you're going to have a really bare-looking plant for a while. So if you do
and
prune.
It's right in front of my house.
Yeah. If you do prune at all, just prune right after the flowers. The main display of flowers happen in the spring and early summer.
Okay. So Karen Becker, she's a holistic vet.
Yeah.
And I just found this on her website. She recommends three ways to give apple cider vinegar to dogs. One is, of course, in their food, and the ratio is 1 teaspoon per 20 pounds of weight.
A teaspoon, yeah, that's probably right. I'll probably give my little 20-pound tater a little less than a teaspoon in the morning in his food.
Okay. And she also recommends, she says you can make a solution and put it in a spray bottle of equal parts of the vinegar and water, and you can spritz your dog right before it goes outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you can spritz their bedding.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And the third way.
And she's saying that'll help with fleas?
Right.
Okay.
As a repellent.
That's a good idea.
And, you know, she also mentions that insects are less drawn to clean animals.
Right. No, that's true. There's just not as much biology and organic matter around. Well, that's good. I need to contact her, maybe have her on the show sometime. I've heard about her, never met her, though.
She's terrific. And her third way is to do a leave-in rinse after the bath.
Mm-hmm.
At 1 cup per gallon of water.
1 cup per gallon. That's pretty strong. I guess it's all right. Per
and
gallon.
And she says just to massage it into the coat and towel dry. Don't rinse it out.
Yeah.
And avoid the head, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
I'll try to get a hold of her and have her on the show. Karen Becker is her name. Danny in Bosque County. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Howard. Well, we're fortunate. Ours, we can get enough into ours just through the water. They drink it, so I guess we're fortunate.
Yeah, that's what Tater, he'll turn up his nose if I do it a little too heavy. But if you do it around that teaspoon that she was talking about, he's fine with it.
Well, and we've got a bunch of cats that are sort of wild, or mostly wild, and they never scratch. I'm assuming they never have fleas, or if they did, they would be scratching. Anyway, the reason for my call, Howard, it's hard to believe, but 3 years ago we were, you know, kind of wrapping up our drought. We put out two bur oaks in that summer that didn't make it, but then the next year they came back out. So we've just been letting them go. They're up about 4 feet now. My question is, you were talking about the leader and the main leader and the branching earlier, which is right. What got me thinking about this.
Right.
Should I just let them go for several more years, and will a dominant leader take over? I mean, it kind of seems to be happening. Or do I need to trim off some side shoots maybe next year or this winter?
These died to the ground, and the shoots are coming from the ground?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
No, go ahead and do it now. Take a look. Just look at it and figure out which one looks the healthiest and biggest and cut the others away, because that means that you'll immediately have the energy going into that one stem that's left, and it'll become a big tree. It'll surprise you how quickly it'll get established as a good-sized tree.
Well, that was the thing. We were going to, you know, replace it the next year, and all of a sudden spring comes and it's taken off, and I couldn't dig up a living tree.
No, you don't need to. It'll form a big tree quicker than if you planted a new tree.
Well, that was, you know, your recommendation, and that's what we've been going on. And, I mean, they're healthy. The leaves are huge and big. So this winter is a good time to go on and sacrifice the side shoots, correct?
Cowboy game doesn't start till 7:30. Get out there and get to work.
Okay. Oh, God, Howard. Thank you very much. Appreciate you and your show, and a good holiday for you and your family.
You too, Danny. Thanks for calling, as always.
You bet.
Let's see. Cowboys playing at 7:30 again, and I was kind of surprised playing at night once again. Here's a Chicago call. I've been wondering where my Chicago people are. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Howard. Hey, I got a quick question for you about bulbs.
Okay.
So I got only a couple bulbs. I didn't get them in time, so I got a bunch of unused bulbs in the bag still, and I'm wondering if I should store them in the basement where they're warm, store them in the garage where it's cold, or if I should plant them in, like, pots to try to get just a little flout, just to get them to burst in the spring, or wait until the thaw. I guess that's a big question.
Well, you can do one of two things, Nick. You can put them in some pots and have some things. Some bulbs do better in containers than others, but that's a way to, you know, get some benefit from them. The other thing, which I would probably do, is put them in peat moss and for storage, and keep them cool. Keep them in a cool place, not a warm place. And then as soon as things start to thaw out and everything, you can plant them outside.
Sure. Can I add a tip for your codominant trees?
Sure. Can you hold on so we won't be rushed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on, and I'll be right back with you. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
With Nick, we had a little bit more to talk about. You still there, Nick?
Oh, yeah, Howard. One of the observations I've seen up here in Chicagoland is with codominance is ginkgo biloba trees. And they, I mean, they're such a beautiful tree. And then by the time you see them, they're already, you know, getting to the semi-mature age where you look at it and it's the codominance is so tight. You almost wish you could go back 10 years and make that one cut. So I would just recommend.
Yeah.
That and maples and lindens too, but trying to get away. Chicago has too many maples, I feel, so we're trying to get some other varieties.
Yeah, the linden's pretty bad at it too. You know, I was looking at the ginkgo that's in a park called Samuel Park here in Dallas that has the what I think is the champion ginkgo. I think mine is now bigger than it, and it's almost 100 years old. And mine's about 35 years old.
Wow.
The one that is currently the champion, or at least the one in this park, has a bunch. It's a ginkgo that's just loaded with codominant branching and a bunch of tight Vs just all through it. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, I see that. It seems like that species, you know, if you can get at it early and get that single stem, you're really doing it a healthy additive. And like you said, it looks like you're going to make the tree only in half, but they fill out really quick. We had a dawn redwood that had a broken top, and it started its second it redominated itself, but it still had that stub sticking up.
Yep.
Made the proper cut, and you can just barely see. That was about 6 years ago. The thing grew 12-15 feet since then, solid. I mean, I can actually physically climb into the tree.
That's great. I love that tree. It's amazing, too, that Dawn Redwood does well there, as you're saying, in Chicago, and it does beautifully in Dallas. I think that tree may grow anywhere in the United States almost.
It's really an awesome tree. All right, Howard, have a great holiday. Love your show.
Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate you calling. You too.
Talk to you
soon. Let's see what Bart is up to in Eureka, California. Hi, Bart.
I think he's got the wrong name. It's Clark in Eureka, Texas.
Okay. Well, that's pretty close there. That's interesting, Dave. Clark in Eureka, Texas. All right. What's up, Clark?
Well, the lady beetles that you were talking about, we've had them for about 3-4 weeks now.
Yeah.
And
you talking about the ones that come in the house?
Oh, yeah. Well, they come anywhere you bring them. I went out to my aquaponics system. They were all over it.
Yeah.
And then I pulled up in my driveway, yesterday, and they were all over my truck before I could even get stopped. And then as soon as I opened the doors, they came in, and I was over in Gun Barrel, and they were all over the place out there. And 2 or 3 years ago, when we still had the landline, they got into our phone box connection, and just they were so full in there, you had to scrape them out and everything. And but yesterday they were over everything. They were out and all over my celery, my mustard, and collards, and strawberries, and lemongrass, and everything. So they're just all over the place.
Yeah, it's interesting that they do that as opposed to our native lady beetles. And I guess, there's not going to be any pest insects around. If there were any left, they'd be taking care of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they were looking for them on the plant. The biggest part of them were out just in the open space and around the front door. Right now, they're out there just buzzing around all around the front porch, and if you open the door, they come in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, they want to come in. That's why they're in the electrical connections. They're looking for some warm places to be. I guess they came originally from a little bit warmer climate. One thing about them, and we were talking about this yesterday, if you let them get on you, when people are sometimes surprised that they will bite you. They'll give you a little nip.
Yeah, they've nipped me a time or two, it's not bad.
It's not bad or toxic or anything like that, but it'll get your attention, especially if it's on your neck or something like that.
Yeah, they were yesterday, they were nipping me every once in a while, but you can't even open the door of your truck without getting them flooding in.
Are yours all red, or are they different colors?
Some of them, they're different colors. Most of them are red, but there's a few of these that look kind of almost like a milky yellow or
right,
something.
Right.
And they all have black spots on them and everything. And I was wondering what they were, because I've never seen them like that, but 2 or 3 other times, down here in the country, but they're everywhere. And I wish I had all of those on the plants, during the summer.
Well, they'll hang around. They'll be back. One thing I was telling Bob and his listeners yesterday was that they, like I said earlier in the show today, they're easy to identify because of that big white splotch on the shield behind the head, as opposed to the converging lines like our native lady beetle has. But I saw some a couple of days ago where it didn't have that distinctive bright white splotch. It had kind of a manila folder color, and I was pondering whether maybe we've got some crossbreeding going on with our natives, and we may end up with some that are a little bit of a mixed breed ladybug.
Well, that may be what it is, because that's the manila folder description looks like the shell on a lot of these. It's about the color of a manila folder.
That may be what's going on. We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens.
Okay. Well, thanks. Y'all have a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas, and take care of yourself.
We'll see you soon. Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That gives me an opportunity here to do a couple of things. One is talk about these Christmas trees that people were on the horn for and couldn't hold. A couple of different things to talk about here. When you buy, if you buy a cut tree, you know, at whatever store you want to buy it from, those trees, you're not hurting the environment at all. That's one thing that's important to know. They're growing those trees as a crop for that use. So don't worry about that. And buying a cut tree is fine. They smell great. And there's all kinds of different choices there. You just get the one that you like the most. If you're going to go the living Christmas tree route where you want to plant it outside later on, it's a little different approach, a little tougher to do and have success. One of the callers that couldn't hold said that their tree was, after being planted, was thinning out, and I needed to talk to him to find out what the deal was. But hopefully what I'll go through here will help some. If you're going to use a living Christmas tree, you're going to use one that's bald and burlapped or in a container, and then when Christmas is over, move it outside and plant it outside. You want to choose one that's adapted to where you are, and of course, it depends on where you are in the United States. I'll cover some here in a minute for you. But you also want to move it into the inside and have it decorated and have the presents on it as late as possible, and only be in a few days. You know, it used to be the tradition to put the tree up on Christmas Eve and, you know, have it there basically that one day. Now everybody tends to do it right after Thanksgiving, and the tree ends up being inside for a long period of time, which can even be a dangerous thing because the trees dry out pretty quickly inside. And once they're dry inside, they are a Roman candle if, you know, they get ignited. So they can become a problem. And that's a cut tree. The living tree, you bring a living tree in, leave it in there a couple of weeks, you're going to have a hard time with it once you move it outside for two reasons. One is you're not going to be able to keep the moisture right in it. People tend to overwater or underwater. But the other thing is it's going to be in such low light compared to what it will be in when you move it outside, it's going to be greatly shocked when you move it outside. You're going to have a diminished chance of it being successful. So quickly as possible, put it in as close to Christmas as you can. Get it outside the minute the presents are unwrapped and the decorations are taken off the tree. And just wherever you are in the country, you need to talk to the local nurseries and the extension service, you know, talk to experts, talk to neighbors. You know, you may already know yourself what evergreens, pine trees, or whatever you're considering using, whether it would be adapted when moved outside or not. And if you plant something that's not adapted, no matter how careful you are, you're not going to have success. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have black clay soil for the most part. And then in some places, we have acid sandy soil like you'd find in East Texas or in, you know, in Georgia, a bunch of the southern states. In those situations, those acid sandy soils, you can do Japanese black pine, Austrian pine, slash pine, loblolly, anything will grow in those acid soils. In the alkaline soils, like in a lot of the South and much of Texas, you're going to have to plant a pine tree that can grow in that acid condition, and the choices are very slim. One is our native red cedar, which a lot of people hate. If you can get a female, and it's kind of hard sometimes because buying them when they're a Christmas tree size, they may not be setting fruit yet. But that's how you would tell if a red cedar, a juniper, is a female or not. It would have the blue berries on it. That's the preferable tree. The males have the pollen that explodes in the spring and early summer and is the big allergy deal. If a red cedar is planted in the right place, I think they're terrific trees. I have a bunch of big ones around the property line at our place. They were there. I've taken some out. I've encouraged some to grow. And there's a male or two left. Most of them that we've allowed to leave are female. There's a plant called Leyland cypress that's sold out there as a Christmas tree. In acid sandy soils, it's pretty good. In clay soils, it tends to get diseases, bacterial diseases, and some fungal diseases pretty easily. So it's not real high on my list to recommend to you. For those of you in DFW or in other alkaline soil areas, there is a terrific tree that's available as a Christmas tree that'll grow in a wide range of soils and a wide range of weather conditions, climate conditions, zones, in other words, and that is Italian stone pine. Now, when you buy them, and I've seen them in a lot of the stores around our area, when you buy them, they are have very short needles, and they're kind of gray-green. It won't look like that long-term. It completely changes. The needles get longer and darker green, and it's a beautiful, soft little tree that gets to be big, big tree. Italian stone pine. I'll give you a little bit more information on Christmas trees and whatever you want to call about right after this. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Xylo bags are the newest and best development in compostable multi-use bags. Rather than food sources like corn, Xylo bags are made using lignin, a byproduct from paper mills, so no additional trees or other crops are harvested to produce Xylo bags. Ask for Xylo bags in your grocery store, hardware store, or wherever you buy bags. Available online at Amazon. For more information, go to xylobags.com. Xylo bags, the best compostable bags available.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Okay, one more quick thing on Christmas trees. If you need a small tree, don't need a great big one, rosemary, you'll find at the garden centers a lot of times trimmed into Christmas tree shapes. Make a great little Christmas tree, and then you can plant them in the herb garden or put them in a pot and move them around or whatever. It's one of the herbs that's really good, wonderful fragrance. Judy was telling me the other day that there's some research about taking rosemary and rubbing it on in your hands and smelling it and being around it quite a bit is really good for you, immune system-wise and some other things, and smells great anyway. So that's just another option for you. Here's Catherine in Dallas. Hey, Catherine.
Hey. Okay, so I have this probably 2 foot tall Meyer lemon, sort of a bush. I thought I was buying a tree, but it's ended up being a bush. I have one lemon on it, and it's not quite right. I covered it. Should I clip off that lemon?
It won't continue to ripen like some fruit will very well at all, Catherine. So keeping the floating row cover, is the plant in the ground or in a pot?
It's in a pot.
Is it? Okay. Has it been in full sun?
It wishes it was, but it hasn't.
Okay, well, that's probably why it didn't set very much fruit. About all you can do to try to save that one fruit is just cover it with floating row cover, and in this case, because of the weather that we're having, put a light under it, just an incandescent light under it. Now it'll produce enough heat to create a little greenhouse effect. But I'm worried if it was exposed last night, it may already be too late.
Yeah, I was afraid I should have just nipped it, you know, and brought it inside.
Is it on the porch near the house?
Uh-huh. It is.
Well, it could have possibly gotten into our house. It's so leaky. We get enough warm air going out the house to keep the real close to the house, you know, in a warm enough place so things won't freeze. And maybe that's the case with yours. But, yeah, it Meyer need, you know, it'll get really damaged at around 22 degrees, you know, pretty permanently. And we had easily that. So.
Well, and then the next question, if it did survive, I would really, you know, this is in a bush form, and I thought I was buying a tree. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to try to exfoliate that, should I try
now, or should I try in the spring, or when should I try?
Well, you can go ahead and start working on it now. You just need to get it finished before the buds start to swell and it starts to grow in the spring. And it won't hurt it at all. You just prune back. And you know what you need to do, don't you? You prune back to buds that are pointing in the direction you want them to grow. The direction that bud that's left as the terminal growth when you're doing your pruning, the direction that bud is pointing is exactly the direction that stem will grow out.
So, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it'll grow exactly that way. Now, it'll tend to bend toward the sun after a while, but in the beginning, it's going to go just as straight as it can be the direction that bud's pointing, so that gives you a guide about how to cut back, you know, to what buds.
Okay. And also, it needs to have a flat side, doesn't it?
Yeah, it needs to be. If you're going to espalier, it needs to be flat on both sides.
Okay.
And that's fine. I mean, any kind of fruit can be espaliered. I mean, peaches, plums, apricots, apples are done that way commercially all the time. So it's no problem. You just have to do it a little bit at a time. And then as it starts to grow, you continue to train it and prune it to be as flat and shaped like you want as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good tip on the incandescent line.
Yeah, just throw a light on there, create a little greenhouse effect. Hopefully it's not too late that you got enough warmth from the house to keep it in good shape. About 22 degrees is when it would be just killed.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. And it would, you know, not that expensive to buy some more. I hope that the garden centers out there, you know, don't have some heavy losses on this all over the country. It's pretty brutal out there. Everybody, you know, be careful out there driving around, especially, you know, if there's been some precipitation, if you can. If that has been the case, stay home. Don't go out in that. You might look at our latest newsletter if you didn't hear me talking about the possibility of this ring shake, this damage that comes to trees, certain species more than others. They've been frozen real fast and real hard and then are exposed to sunlight in the morning. That's when that bark can separate. And if you wrap the trunks with burlap, if you wanted to do that, I'm not going to that trouble. I don't think I have very many trees that are going to get direct morning sun after this in my case. But if you do and have a valuable tree, it's not that big a deal. You want opaque material. You want something solid like a tarp or burlap to wrap around so the sun can't hit the trunk of the trees. And again, it's time to get pruning done if you need to do it. No flush cuts. If you want to make a mistake, make the mistake by cutting out too far and leaving too long a stub rather than cutting too close. It's far, far less damaging to your tree to do that. Stay warm, everybody. Be careful out there. Merry Christmas. We'll probably be running a best of next Christmas rather than being here. And we may do the Bonnie Bradshaw thing where we talk about all those animals, coyotes and raccoons and rats and possums and all that stuff next week for you. Have a good one. Enjoy Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, and I will see you next time. Hope your gardens hang in there really well. Get your planning done for what you're going to do once things start to thaw out. Take a look at our new book, The Organic Manual, that's on our website, dirtdoctor.com. See you next time.